Podcasting 2.0 for March 4th, 2023, episode 124, Undeplatformable. Hello, everybody. Welcome to a delayed board meeting of Podcasting 2.0, preserving, protecting, and extending the open, independent podcasting ecosystem. That's what we're all about, and we talk about it once a week with everybody at the board meeting, everything happening at podcastindex.org, of course, the podcast namespace, and everything at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and Alabama, the man who fills up your generator. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
Adam Clark Curry.
Yes.
I'm going for one day. And you have a party.
Wait a minute. Are you being stern with me? You threw out an Adam Clark Curry that triggered me right away.
Yeah, no, I knew it would.
And if you deserve, I would do David Ashley Jones.
Yes, that would have the same effect. There's only one. I only have one rule.
And that's,
no parties while I'm gone.
But we cleaned up. There was only Dame DeLorean's panties apparently were on the flagpole. Everything else was clean. We didn't do anything bad. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no. It was much entertaining.
Well, you heard it? Were you at the office listening?
I got a bootleg. I got somebody sent me a bootleg.
Okay, yes. I purposely did not record because I didn't want any evidence that we were breaking the law. Not only breaking the law by playing 2.5 hours of licensed music on the stream, but also taking money for it, which is, I think, a super violation.
Well, there is a bootleg if you know the right guy down on Fifth Avenue behind the corner in the alley.
You mean Canal Street is what you're talking about. Canal Street.
Yeah, with enough sats, you can get a bootleg.
For those who are wondering what we're talking about, yesterday we were ready to go for our regularly scheduled board meeting time. And, there were two things that happened, actually. Now, the Hill Country here in Texas had a pretty big storm. Thursday morning was really bad with golf ball sized hail, which sounded great against our metal roof.
That was five in the morning.
I was crazy. The dog was freaked out. I have not seen our dog freaked out by anything, but this freaked her out. Mm-hmm. And then Friday, it really missed Fredericksburg and went right past us. Some prayer was involved, I'm sure. But
yes. Diversionary prayer, yes.
I forgot to add a diversionary tactic for you. And it hit pretty hard. And so now, somewhere down the line, my bandwidth was totally crapping out. My upstream was about 500 kilobits per second, which is not the typical upstream. And just as I was figuring that out, bringing out different access points, I've got T-Mobile, Verizon, I have, if all else fails, I've got Starlink, although that does introduce some latency. So we're messing around with that. And then Dave goes, bat signal, the power went down in the office. What happened there?
I got yesterday was a total cluster. I mean, like, I got in the car, even going back before what happened with the show, I got in the car to leave to go to the office for work, and I get a ping on my phone. I look down at the phone, and it says, you've got a guest, Michael and Sam from Wavelake at 9 a.m.
Oh,
I was like, right. Wait, what? 9 a.m.? That's not right.
No,
it's supposed to be 12:30. And so I get to the office and I email them and I'm like,
and they're all, hey. They were sitting ready. They got their headphones on, everything good to go.
I was like, hey guys, please tell me this was a time zone mix up and I didn't actually send y'all a point. And they were like, no, you sent it for 9. I was like, damn it.
How does that happen? Cause you use, Google Calendar for that?
No, I use Fastmail's calendar, but it's all through the iPhone. I don't think I've ever messed that up. And I just totally boned it. I mean, like, it was terrible. And then it turned out it was actually good that we had to move the interview, because then all that stuff happened with your bandwidth and then the power went off at work. And so then I was like, I got to go back. I mean, I got to go back to the office.
Now, does it blip or does it fail over nicely do you got UPSs that handle the switch over to the generator?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's seamless. But see, we have, for reasons, we can't get natural gas, so we have a diesel generator. And so
you are single-handedly responsible for climate change right now.
I was pouring 5 gallons of climate change into the generator with every jug last night, and it sucked. Let me tell you,
5 gallons of climate change coming right up. That's how they should measure it. How many gallons of climate change? Mm.
And so I got the lightning struck the power pole that feeds our building, and we have 3-phase power. So it took one of the lines was just gone. I mean, it just blew the thing off the pole. And
transformer blew it right off the pole.
It wasn't a transformer. It's it's 3-phase. So you got 3 lines coming in, and one of the connector lines that go off the main was just gone. And so the power company came out and they're like, yeah, what problem.
You didn't get your gear out and climb in the pole and reconnect that thing?
I don't do a lot of pole work these days.
Yes, these days.
Yeah, now I'm
on the pole on all the time.
Because the ISOBOT is working so well, now I'm just I'm trying to feed the ISOBOT as much as I can.
The ISOBOT is unbelievable. I was just telling Tina how that works. She said, "How does that happen? How do they even do that?" I said, "It's magic, man. They're running some kind of transcript in real time." I guess.
But I got home about 1 o'clock in the morning last night.
Oh goodness!
Power.
It was back on by then.
They fixed. So we had to turn, because it wasn't actually all the way out. It was just it was out of phase. Only one of the lines was gone. So things were
flickering.
Lights were flashing like disco tech. And
one thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
At 50
it was
cycles.
Single phasing.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. It was horrible. It was scary. And so they were like, yeah, we're shutting the whole thing. We're just shutting the whole building down.
Yeah,
so
that makes sense.
Anyway, so it did take a long time, but it was. It was good. It's just a weird, man. It's just a weird weekend so far. Very strange.
Well, you worked today as well at the office.
I did. Yeah. Yeah.
So you went right back in at 9 o'clock?
No, I was there at 8. Yeah. Oh,
mm-hmm. After getting home at 1.
Yeah. But I'm going to sleep really good tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm making up for it tonight. I took a shower before the show to wake myself up, get myself fired up. You know?
Yeah.
Hyped.
You're lit.
I am. I'm lit. I'm as good, as lit as I can get. Yeah,
this show is lit, which is the formula for success, as far as I'm concerned. This is a live item tag where if you use the appropriate podcast app, you'll actually get an alert for this. Podverse seems to be the one that's doing it the best. I think Podcast Addict has it. I don't know if is that out of beta yet? The Podcast Addict alert system?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, of course, Curocaster. I was looking at the charts yesterday. With me spinning tunes for 2.5 hours, something really magically happened. And to me, it was, it happens during a regular show too, but there's something about the audience participation that just went with the flow. And, because of course we have the chat room. When you use Podverse, the chat room opens up. You get the live signal. You go into the live item right there in your list. You can chat along and you can boost in real time. And I think it was Todd Cochran, Mr. Blueberry. He started it off. He's like 25,000 sats, and he wanted a song. And he said right there, the next request has to be 5 more. And it was like, okay, the next one was 30,000. And then I think Carolyn Blaney, she sent 20,000, requested something, but Booberry came in and said, oh, I'm going to add 15,000 to make up, so it's 35 for her request. And people just doing this up and up and up. And we're like 50, 60, 70,000 sats of requests. And I'm like, stop. First of all, I was embarrassed.
Yeah.
But also, I discovered something else. When you open up the stream to requests, you get a lot of shit. It's not really necessarily in the groove of the dance party. Metallica! Okay, right. You know, I like Metallica too. It's just that, and then followed by polka music from Weird Al Yankovic. It was a little hectic. It was all over the spectrum. But we had a good time.
Very reminiscent of FUBAR Fridays with the Dropbox.
Daily Source Code, exactly.
Yeah, that was all over the map too. So like some of those was like, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was really fun, and it was just nice to see everyone kind of go with the flow. And that's something that we're bringing something really beautiful back that existed many, many, many years ago. I mean, these days you even have, I should probably play this. ChatGPT is now doing Radio GPT. They're literally pitching AI voices to run your radio station. And I got to play this little demo they have. So I've done a lot of top 40 radio work, certainly in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s. It already was very formulaic. Now, you had a lot of leeway depending on who you were, what time slot you have, you know, what station. But in general, Steve Kingston, legendary program director who was at Z100 when I was there, he would say, "Hey, man, and a monkey could do this. Just read the line of cards and hit the button." You know, and this it always end with Z100.
That's in New York, right?
Z100 WHTZ. Okay. Yeah. I was brought in by Scott Shannon, who was the legend who I've, you know, have probably any of my radio career to thank because I emulated him so much. So all the elements that, you know, just for the regular jocks, I will say, for, you know, except for drive time in the morning, and drive time in the afternoon, everyone kind of has to follow these rules. Overnight, you could break some rules and stuff, but now it's still the most expensive part of any organization is going to be people. So screw the DJs, get rid of the button pushes. We don't even need monkeys anymore. Listen to this promo from Radio GPT. And by the way, everything that they're talking about is something that you are told and trained to do as a disc jockey these days.
Futuri is revolutionizing the audio industry with the launch of Radio GPT, the world's first AI-driven localized radio content solution. Radio GPT combines the power of GPT-3 technology with Futuri's AI-driven story discovery and social content system, Woo! Topic Pulse, as well as AI voice tech to provide an unmatched localized radio experience for any market, any format.
New paragraph.
Using Futuri's patented automation link and patented Topic Pulse system, along with AI voice technology, Radio GPT brings a radio station to life.
It brings the radio station to life!
it actually can. Yes.
I can see what's in your music log and talk about the songs or artists on your station.
Oh,
you can't see
wow.
anything, you're dead.
I can see what's happening in your local market right now and talk about it in real time.
Hey, it looks like the Dairy Queen is flooded.
I can post on your Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok during my show. And
hey, I'm doing a show. Listen to me.
Talk about what's coming up.
I'm playing a record.
I am great at teasing and pre-promoting content going into breaks.
Oh, you know, teasing. Oh, yeah, coming up next on Z100.
I can talk about the weather or traffic.
It's nice.
I can see how many people are listening right now through Futuri streaming and say hello to certain locations.
Hello!
Hello, Cleveland.
I can take open mic audio from listeners using Futuri Mobile and incorporate their thoughts.
Oh, yeah. The Rockies go.
Oh, yeah, that'll end well. I mean, gone are the days of Shaniqua, yeah! What's your favorite radio station? Z100!
Questions and feedback into my show. I can share news updates and current events relevant to your audience's interests and demographics.
Oh, okay. She knows my interest in demographics.
Oh, yeah.
Madonna had a butt implant.
I have experience conducting engaging interviews with notable guests and experts.
Now, this is very engaging. This is the one that I'm like, you're going to do an interview with notable guests. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I can give away prizes, tickets, and exclusive experiences to listeners through on-air contests using Futuri Mobile's Flash Contesting.
Flash Contesting! It should be contesting, but okay.
I am skilled at creating unique and entertaining breaks that keep your audience engaged and coming back for more.
Now, so this drivel, and by the way, they have a video of this AI bot. She doesn't blink. And trust me, to be a good podcaster like me, you got to blink, have Tourette's, all kinds of tics. Otherwise, you're just no good. You got to have that.
That's the bottom bar. That's the bar you got to get to.
Yeah. It's not blinking. So this, of course, is atrocious. But this will get radio airtime. People will do this. And compared to what we had going on yesterday, there's just no comparison. That the thing lived. It lived. And people were feeding back in real time. The whole thing was just a beautiful experience. It was something special about it.
As a DJ,
yeah.
I mean, So this was great. So I'm listening to the bootleg, and it reminded me. So you weren't expecting for things to go in that direction.
No, I was not prepared. No.
Yeah, back in the day when you would do a daily source code, things would you came in knowing what you were getting. You were.
They had a lot of stuff. Yeah, good to go. Yeah.
And so this evolved. And so at the first, maybe the first 15 minutes or so, 20 minutes, you were kind of like understanding where this thing was headed. About 30 minutes into it, you were hitting the groove. I mean, like it was, and then an hour in, you were just, I mean, it was full. It was like it was 2004 all over again. I mean, or 2007. I mean, it was just boom, boom, boom. I mean, you were killing it.
The thing that was weird is so Spotify, you used to have, Spotify would allow third-party apps and you could have two songs or more even, but you could have two tracks, one playing and one queued up. So while one is playing, you can then go listen to another one. But if you only have one Spotify app, you can't queue anything up. So I was literally like stopping it, clicking on something while I'm talking, clicking on the next one. And then because it had to load for a second, you know, the bandwidth was kind of shitty as well. So I was really just, you know, it was very, very low bar, low tech to do it this way. And luckily I had a couple of tracks myself. So, you know, if I was trying to queue something up, I could, you know, do something else on a different, on a pre-fade or listen. But it was definitely not ideal from a music library standpoint. It's too bad that Spotify doesn't allow you to do that anymore.
I've never done any of that kind of thing. So I'm imagining that the way it goes is the track that's live is playing, you're listening to the next track to get to figure out what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And then you cue your, okay, that's how it goes. All right.
And
the fact that you couldn't do that and it was still as smooth as it was. I mean, you're a professional, brother. Total pro.
Hey, I'm also available for bar mitzvahs and weddings. Just boost us live. We've saved yet another life. I'm very happy to, I think this person wanted to stay anonymous.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for opening my eyes to the pod fasting side effects, which now I think is called pod speeding. It does sound better.
Pod fasting sounds like you're not
consuming it. Yes.
Yes.
So my use case was this. I tried to listen to the show live on Podverse. But my wife, and she's in Germany, but my wife wouldn't let me listen to the whole show. So the next morning, I would 1.25 it to re-listen to the bits I heard live and catch up on the missed out sections. Of course, this meant that I would be fidgety the day after. Now I know why, and I won't do it again. Thank you very much.
There's a delay. It takes you a day to come down.
Yes. And okay, well, how about this? So RTP, Richard Peterson, he caught something when you and I were discussing this, and it really blew my mind. I have to set it up. So when we were talking about, that this stuff can hijack your nervous system, it makes you impatient with the people around you who you love, or maybe the office or your kids. It conditions you to accept fake people like that radio GPT lady. You know, there's a whole bunch of downsides to it. And you said that, you know, you had heard me bitching about this several years ago. And you stop doing it and you notice that immediately a day or two later, you had more patience, right? Am I recounting that correctly?
Yeah, it took a couple of days. It took 2-3 days. And then I realized that everything felt more right. And like everything just felt normal. And like as far as listening to the speed, because I was so used to, I'd been listening to you guys for years on fast speed. And it took 2 or 3 days for me to get used to not hearing you like that. But then it's like as soon as my mind adjusted to it, everything else fell into place too on like in the world.
So one of the things you would use is the silence chopper, if I'm not correct. So now listen to that podcast. So this is last week's board meeting. The minute you start talking about the sped up chopped silences, you actually start talking fast. Listen to it.
As a reformed podcast, multi-Xer. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you call that. Multi-speed person.
Sick. Yeah.
Yeah, as a sicko, a reformed sicko.
Yes.
I used to listen to all my podcasts in one at 1.0 speed up with the whatever that thing is where it chops out the silences between them and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the silence chopper. Did you hear what you just did there?
Yeah, I just went.
Yeah, and then right after that you slowed down again. Listen.
Whatever that thing is where it chops out the silences between them and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the silence chopper.
Silence chopper, yeah, yeah. And
then you go back to normal speed. I think that it's still in you. The programming is still there. You need an exorcism, I believe.
No, it's a virus.
Dave Jones, be free of the spirit! You're cured. You're healed, son. You're healed.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Father.
I thought that was a fantastic observation.
This is a good observation because I'm naturally sort of a stammerer because I try to get my brain goes faster than my mouth. And so I have to get them in sync. Mm-hmm. And if I do this, the way I talk on the show is exactly the way I talk to people and all around me all the time. And I realize that it frustrates them. And so I try to talk slower. But then because when I talk fast, my stammering gets way worse. It's not stuttering. It's not like, it's not like that. It's because I start a sentence, realize that that's not the right way to start it, and then go back. And sometimes I'll start a sentence three times in a row. Mm-hmm. And it drives Melissa crazy. So like the faster I get, it becomes just it turns into mush.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, yeah. Actually, I find the way you talk very engaging. I enjoy it. Believe me, if I didn't like it, I would be, fuck this thing. I'm not going to do this board meeting. I'll listen to that shit for 2 hours a week. but I enjoy, personally, I like flaws. I like it when people, except the president. The president, he has no brains left. I mean, that's different what he's got going on there. But Cridlin also has a stammer, and it's quite endearing. It's M's and L's, and I like it. I like that kind of stuff.
I like the humanity of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It makes you human. It's the exact opposite of the robo jock.
That chick said nothing wrong.
Yeah. Right. There's nothing wrong, nothing unique, nothing interesting, nothing that makes you, and certainly the writing was inhumane. I mean, you know, it's like this stuff, in my opinion, all that, those little nuances will never work unless, you know, people start tricking themselves by listening to roboticized speech to begin with, which is what, you know, pod speeding is.
I immediately heard the problem with that, you know, AI bot thing.
Yeah.
Fake DJ.
Vanilla.
It's funny how, have you seen the AI art stuff and it always messes up the hands?
Have you seen how the fingers look like
a bunch of chopsticks put together? There's something about
She sounded like that, like chopstick fingers. Yeah.
Chopstick, hot dog fingers. That's exactly what she sounded like.
This is a value for value podcast for those who need an explanation. We have a whole website for it, value4value.info. But the whole concept is we give you value, which is free for anyone to receive, because, of course, we can charge what we want and make it set up behind a paywall or make it premium content only. But, you know, only you can determine what something's worth to you. And maybe a lot of money is 50 cents or $5 a month or a week or whatever. And maybe $500 is what it's worth to you because of some incredible tip that we gave you, or we made you feel good or made you laugh or made you feel human. You get to determine that and send it back to us. And we prefer if you do it in a modern podcast app. Podcastapps.com is where you can find a whole bunch. Since we have so many apps and services now using the podcast index and the API associated with it, that we should probably put that actually forwards you to podcastindex.org/apps. We should probably only put apps there now, and then and make a new section for all the different hosting companies and services. Which is probably a good idea.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
it's probably because you it's like you go to podcastapps.com and you see Buzzsprout.
Yeah,
it's like, just a lot going on. That's not,
Now is that something anyone can do with a pull request? That'd be great. That'd be great. If someone can get those TPS reports done by tomorrow, that'd be great.
That'd be great.
Just asking. That's some real value there. We would appreciate if someone did that as value for value. That is valid value.
The cross-app comments work on the website continues.
Yeah.
Nathan, John, they're continuing, they're just chipping away at this thing. And I was going to get the latest pull request out today into production, but I didn't get a chance to. But they're continuing to do. I think they may have their eyes set on posting like feedback, like replies.
Okay. Oh, right from the website.
Yeah. And so the Changelog podcast guys got in there and were pitching in too on.
Oh, cool.
On some stuff. So yeah, I mean, it's going somewhere. This is a team effort. The website being open source is fantastic. Number one, because
you don't have the physical time, and you don't have the time.
Yeah. It's funny not being a JavaScript guy. I learn all the horrible things about JavaScript after the fact. So these are all new to me.
Yeah.
And I say, oh my God, date is zero indexed on the month. And everybody's like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah. You didn't know that?
Finding this out like 10 years too late.
Since you mentioned that, I have a comment about the integration of GetAlby and websites. So the experience is as follows, and I noticed this. It really hit me when I used Podverse on the web version. Here's the experience. So you have your wallet connected, or you're using the Albi extension. So let's take podcastindex.org as an example, and there's that beautiful box, and you type it all in, and you hit go with the number. And then Albi, if you're not already authorized Albi, you have to go through that process. And then it pops up and it says, pay this amount to this person, create a budget, remember this. There's all these options because it has to go through the splits. It does each one independently. And if you don't know what you're doing, if you don't say, do this, then it spits back every single time. It's like people you don't know. It's very confusing. And the whole budget thing, it's like what we need is an explanation. And the same goes for when you do it with Podverse on the web. So GetAlby, because I got a very nice boost today, but it didn't go through the splits. And I know why, because it was just a user who had GetAlby and they're using the extension, popped it up, Curry and the Keeper, boom. And then whatever else happened, just dumped out. So that has to be, and I understand why, from the GetAlby side, I understand, but that has to be looked at. So maybe Boomy and the guys can take a look at just making it a little more clear. What is a budget? Why do I need a budget? Do I want a budget? Why do I have to remember this for the rest? We need some explanation there. Just some words that explain to people what's happening.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. And I'd kind of forgotten about it.
Yeah, but this is why I write shit down all the time. This is why I have Trillium.
That thing. Your
organizes me. Yes, my second brain. Exactly.
Yeah, I meant to bring that up a few times because it runs you through. It's like, okay, send. It's like it runs through every one of those.
Yeah, we know what's happening, but mere mortals, and we're not talking the podcast, mere mortals will have an issue. So that would be something that we could work on.
Let me throw this at you, maybe out of left field here, or it may not be. I don't know where your mind's at, but what do you think about the Spreaker thing going free? Did you see that?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a red herring, because it's not entirely free. Yes, storage may be free, but there are still different tiers. It's kind of I think it's a little bit of a bait and switch.
Okay, you sound like you know more about this than me because I tried to figure out what they meant and I couldn't make their press release make sense.
I went to the source. I went to the guru, Todd Cochran. Todd Cochran told me, no, this is bait and switch. They still have different levels and you don't get everything. It is definitely a nice offering. To me, it's a Hail Mary. It's like, what are we going to do? Now, this is iHeart, I believe, right? Do they own Spreaker?
Yes, and I've got some, I would like to dig in on that after you say this, because I've got some iHeart stuff.
Oh, good. It seems like Todd didn't seem overly concerned about it. I'm very concerned in general because I just don't believe in free. Because there is no such thing as free, and you're going to get screwed somewhere down the line. If anything, by getting the rug pulled from under you. I don't like it because I know how much goes into running a good host, and the I don't know much about Spreaker. I believe back in the early days, Spreaker was caching the content. Early days, a long time. I may be wrong.
I thought that was Stitcher.
I'm sorry, right? It was Stitcher. Scrap that.
Okay.
I know what goes into making a hosting company work, especially with customer service. And I want all of the hosting companies to prosper, and I want them to be able to provide good customer service and good service in general at a fair price. And something like this comes along, and it's kind of like Anchor, so it may also pollute. Just getting a lot of pollution out there. I think it's probably to jack up their numbers. Look how many podcasts we've got. So I just don't hold them in high regard for doing this. It just doesn't seem like, I feel, and then I'd love to hear what about the iHeart stuff. I feel personally that there should be a way for podcast hosts to bring people on at a quid pro quo of value for value. It's like, we're going to take 20% split until a certain amount or whatever. If you want to pay, you can pay instead of doing that. It's all enabled right out of the gate. Something like that, I think, would be a great offering. And I think that people would pick up on it. And I think that you'd probably make more than $20 a month that you do normally from these podcasts. So it would be a net win in my mind.
Well, the only way I can make this make sense, and this is before I fully understood that it wasn't free across the board, because I was at first I was thinking, oh, this is a Charles Schwab type deal, you know what I mean? Where they Schwab was about 3 years ago, dropped their commission fees on trades.
Everybody had to drop it. Yeah,
and so I thought it was free across the board, but this so. A little, it changes a little bit, but I still think some of this may apply. Maybe they are looking out and they know something. I think at least on our show, me and you both believe that Anchor isn't going to last forever. It's going to fold at some point. It's too much of an albatross around Spotify's neck, and that's completely free. Maybe the ease of use of the Anchor app and all that stuff was, the thing that made it a train wreck. I mean, maybe they just think that their DAI ad offering is enough to just make up the difference of all this,
Well, how about that? Maybe, good point. Maybe they're thinking, hey, as long as we get enough people jamokes with a podcast feed, we'll actually be able to fulfill the inventory.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Okay, well, that leads me into this. I brought some clips. Do you have my clips?
I do.
There was some talk about Marco's discussion on, I guess it was MacBreak Weekly.
Yeah, which I did not watch.
Yeah, I didn't watch it initially, and then I did, and it's fine. I really didn't have much of a problem with. I think there was some misunderstanding with chapters, but. Other than that, I mean, Marco, at least, he basically just said, I don't want people telling me what to do.
And, I don't want people telling me what to do either.
I don't either. And so I'm like, okay. I mean, I really wasn't bothered by anything that he said. But the more interesting part of their conversation, though, was about advertising. And so play Leo 1, ad market is life-threatening.
We're going through, I don't know about you, Marco, and I don't know what you've heard from other podcasters, but we're going through an advertising downturn that is existential. It's life threatening.
Oh yeah. It's not that bad for our show, but this is the worst ad market we've seen in probably a few years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that is only accentuated by NPR, who say they have a $30 million deficit, and it's pretty much from the podcasting department.
Yeah. And I think there's clearly there's shows out there that are doing just fine. And it's the independence shows they have kept their, Marco said that they're doing okay. I mean, they're not doing great, but they're doing okay.
If I may, and I don't know much about it, but what I know from the past with ad markets, if you have a bride's magazine, you're always going to get DJs, venues, dressmakers. And you know, this was the PC magazine, you know, back in the day, you know, you're going to get Dell and HP and everyone's going to advertise because it's just kind of built into their budget. If you're a general program, a general podcast, and you're looking for BMW and T-Mobile, et cetera, yeah, that's where you're going to get cut. So a specialist tech podcast or like a Bitcoin podcast, I'm sure there may be some pullback on the overall numbers, but that's pretty much what you're still going to get that. It may even involve more host reads. I don't think that the dynamic inserted ad market is probably is really being affected, but apparently even in Leo's network, he says existential. I think that's because he just has too many people, too many shows. And as we all know, you can't monetize the network. If it's just Twit itself, I'm sure that's doing fine. I'm sure Security Now is doing okay. But everything else, it may just be a pullback because it's just too much.
Play Leo too.
This is normal. This is normal behavior. And when you're at the bottom of the down, it might feel like the world's never going to come back, but it will eventually.
Good. Tell that to my ad team, okay? Actually, we have an unusual problem because foolishly we built something that has a high overhead.
Yeah.
And I mean, we have a $2.5 million a year nut. So we don't have the luxury of saying, well, if advertising's down, we'll just weather it and go through it. Thank goodness that we did do that. And I think everybody who's in podcasting for real understands that the only thing that keeps podcasting alive is the community, the listeners, the people who you have a relationship, a direct relationship with, and clubs, Patreons, that kind of thing really give, not only give you the little extra income, but they make a big difference in bonding the audience to you. So 2 years ago, we created Club Twit, and that was a huge part of it. But it's still, I mean, it's still, 0.1% or something. Maybe I would love if I get 5% of the audience to subscribe, we wouldn't need advertisers. But right now it's not even 1%. Most people who are getting something for free aren't going to start suddenly paying for it, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're wrong. I'm afraid you're wrong.
Yeah, well, clearly he's wrong, but that speaks to what you're saying. These specific shows are going to do okay. Can't monetize the network, but these middleweight, I'm calling them like a, I don't know the term middleweight, where this kind of like a fat overhead, network or show with host read ads, those are in trouble.
Yeah. It's also, I'm sorry, podcasting. The only reason it works, I mean, I have one example. Actually this podcast is a great example, but it's slightly different because we have a project attached to it. So we do have a specific ask for a specific thing. But without the podcast, believe me, we wouldn't be getting anywhere near what we're getting now. But No Agenda is the example. And you'd have to keep asking. We ask everybody in a newsletter before the night before the show. The newsletter has content in it, but it's definitely an ask. The overhead is incredibly low, and that is partially because we've followed the whole model all the way through: time, talent, treasure. So Void Zero, Mark up in the northern part of the Netherlands for almost 13 years, maybe longer, he's been running our infrastructure, keeping that overhead incredibly low considering the amount of bandwidth we push. Every website was built by someone else who just jumped in to help. And we acknowledge them and give them credit for it, and they give them props. And by the way, they sometimes, put a little donate thing on their own work for that, which we're fine with. So keeping that, that show has run out of Dvorak's top drawer, basically. You know, I do all the production stuff. He handles all the money stuff. Now, we of course, we have an accountant, and, you know, we do have to pay a little extra. And there, you know, someone puts together the spreadsheet. It's from his family, so we're getting pretty cheap labor there. But that's only because it really grew out of just too much for us to handle in addition. But we've kept the overhead just, it's us. It's us. And again, time, talent, treasure. I have 3-4 people who reliably send me clips that are perfectly produced, and we credit them for it. In fact, the clip custodian is in the value for value split.
Yeah, he gets a split.
Yeah. He does, yes. And, you know, and Jeff Smith, who has created all of our sound imaging, and whenever we say, shoot, we need a jingle for that, Jeff Smith shows up. You're not going to send us a bill. The art. Now, not all of the art, we change the art for every single show. Not all the artists have a wallet. I've encouraged them to get one. The winning artist whose art is used in the show gets a split.
I wish people would send art for our show, just saying. That'd be fun.
Yeah, it would be fun. Keeping the overhead low is incredibly important, and this is what Spotify screwed up.
Well, this is affecting, I want to throw a curveball at you in a second, but I got to set it up.
All right.
I got to set it up, and then I'm going to
curveball.
Throw the spitball at you. It's going to be a breaker.
All right.
At the knees.
Sorry, my bat is corked, so I'm ready.
Okay. So I think this is also affecting the big guys too, but they've been able to do something that the middleweight, when I say the big guys, I mean like iHeart and the big players. Mm-hmm. The big ones, I think they have tactics that the small guys don't have,
sure.
Or the smaller guys don't have. So this is an interview on Decoder with Conal Byrne, the CEO of iHeart Digital. And so iHeart is split into sort of two components. They're split into their digital audio group and the multi-platform group. The digital audio group has podcasts. The multi-platform group has broadcast radio and traditional broadcast. So play iHeart One, How You Hide the Numbers.
We felt at iHeart that a lot of the value that we had as a company, we wanted to unlock and make more transparent to the investor community, to audiences, to researchers, to analysts. One way to do that is to create different operating segments in your company so that you can talk more about how well you're doing inside certain divisions and businesses, as opposed to it all getting lumped together into one big overall set of numbers.
Right, which Spotify doesn't do very well, actually.
Right, no, they're not very good at it. So when I say hide the numbers, I don't mean that like they're doing anything nefarious, because all companies do this. It's just normal.
No, they're just trying to show the Wall Street.
Yeah. This is just normal. But the smaller people, the smaller groups, they can't do this sort of financial trickery. But so if you look at, there's a document in there, the iHeart financials that you may want to look at on the PDF.
Yeah, I got in a whole.
Yeah, I mean, look at this. I'm like an accountant here.
I mean, you're like a stock guru. This is stock. It's like DH Unplugged all of a sudden. Okay. I'm looking at a revenue stream and a table. My eyes are swimming. All right.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that the middleweights, let's just look at the iHeart thing. So they said, they say on here that they grew in their podcast group. It says that they grew 44.3% for the 3 months ended December
22. Yeah.
The footnote though corrects that.
Yes.
And says this: absent excluding political revenue. It was only 6.5%.
Right. It was an election year.
It was an election year in 22.
Yeah. Billions of dollars.
The same thing with broadcast. Broadcast said it grew 0.9% in the third quarter and the fourth quarter. It actually, if you exclude political ad revenue, it was a loss of 2.8%.
Yeah. There you go.
And it's the same thing for the full year. The full year goes from a 22% growth in podcast revenue to only a 5%
growth.
And
the beauty of political ads is they don't give a crap. They don't care what you're on. The more crazy you are, the better.
And they blast it across everything.
Yep. They
do like the most broad spectrum buy.
Good catch.
And so this, to me, what was bothering me or a little weird was why 2022 was a very hard financial economic year, but the advertising wasn't as down as much as you thought it was.
No, because so much money came in for the...
Because of the political advertising. Yep. But then in 23, now you're starting to see the pain.
Yeah.
Like the first quarter of 23 has been brutal. And that's where I think that this may explain Spreaker's move here, because being part of iHeart, they may be feeling the hit, and this may be a push across the entire company eventually to go full in DAI, dynamic ad insertion. And if that happens, the more inventory space you push onto the market, it's going to push those CPM rates way down.
Oh yeah.
Because you're going to have too much ad space to be filled. And that's going to drive everything down for everybody across the board. I think this, the fact that the last year was a political year and going into 2023, this could be bad.
Oh, it's guaranteed to be bad.
Because everybody thinks oh, listening to Leo, everybody's like, oh, well, the baked in ads, the host reads, those are struggling right now, but DAI is where that's okay. But I'm thinking DAI is about to take a hit too.
I think it was about $13 billion spent political advertising in all medium.
That's a lot of money.
It's a crap load of money. That's why, all the numbers, they're down, like revenue numbers. What I hear is like 23% growth in the first quarter and then, six.
Mm-hmm. I think so. The Spreaker thing feels like if they actually have enough people take them up on this offer and it's all based on DAI, this could end up being a pretty bad thing across the industry.
It's going to suck.
This is what everybody doesn't understand about DAI. The more people you have that sign up for DAI, the lower the CPMs get for everybody.
Also, yeah, and I think the CPMs of the inserted ads are quite low, actually. They're probably in the 8%, 10%. I'm just spouting because I don't really know. I did enjoy something Cridlin posted on podcastindex.social. It was a screenshot of some, I guess, a tweet. I don't know if it was a tweet or a Mastodon. Doesn't matter. Podcasts are the new AM talk radio. Have you heard the ads on AM talk radio? It's like reading your junk folder. And and that's true. And, and it's ad load, really. It's just, putting as much in as possible so they can actually pay the bills.
This Conal Byrne guy?
Yeah.
He actually had play iHeart too, because he adds something that I think is relevant to this.
There was a moment on YouTube where we all sort of realized the same thing around like 2010 or something. It's like, oh, the optimal video is this length and you have to open with this kind of thing and then close it with that. And to some extent, you kill creativity and true innovation when you start to reverse engineer what an asset should be for the content platform that it's going to be distributed on. In fact, you almost certainly kill, I think, true creativity when you hit that moment. Podcasting, just as a side question, it's not your question, but as a side answer to it real quick, podcasting has bucked that a lot to date. It has resisted this notion of a podcast episode is supposed to be 28 minutes long and have two ad breaks. It's actually a lot of different kinds of things.
Yeah.
It can be a true crime limited series of 8 to 10 episodes that are 30 minutes long. It can also be a stuff to blow your mind episode that's sometimes 3 hours long of just two guys talking about stuff, and both are completely okay and really perform well, actually. So it hasn't yet hit this moment of reverse engineering from the platforms that it's on.
Yeah. Now, where was this? Was this part of that Hot Pods thing?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because it was really interesting. I read what I thought was a very honest rundown in the Hollywood Reporter. And it really explained, this Hot Pod Summit. I'll read just a couple pieces here from this article. which to me was like, you know, the Hollywood Reporter is going to give you the Hollywood angle, which means it's all about the money. That's, it's always all about the money. In various conversations with studio executives and creators, a common refrain were the difficulties of turning a profit on podcasting alone. Even Spotify, which recently revisited its podcast leadership again and had layoffs and show cancellations in its podcast division, is reevaluating its spending after pouring more than $1 billion into licensing deals and acquisitions in the past few years. As such, repackaging audio content and seeking out derivatives like film and TV adaptations could be the key to actually making good money in podcasting, especially now that the mega deals of recent years are getting rarer and podcasters are feeling the pressure to seek out more ad dollars from bigger buyers to keep the lights on long term. And all of this isn't even to acknowledge the creative ambitions around podcasting, where creators want to produce expensive, buzzy narrative projects that can have a tangible impact on policy or public conversation, but may have a harder time receiving funding and support compared to the more assured success of cheaper, always-on chat shows. And this is where a lot of stuff has gone wrong. You know, the in fact, I think the short form, or you know, the limited run, 8-episode true crime, fabulous format, but you just got to have a couple of really good people who get together and do this as almost as a theater troupe. You know, someone's got to be able to do the editing. You've all got to be in it for, you know, for the love of what you're doing, because there's just not enough money to go around to be funding these projects, which from what the Hollywood Reporter is saying are basically pilots. It's basically a pilot. And I know that Dana Brunetti, who was a, you know, big no agenda guy, and he also got, he got very interested in podcasting 2.0 with the transcripts and chapter features. He did 50 Shades of Grey and was the producer on House of Cards. So top-notch guy, top-notch guy. And he's like, you know, I want to do a podcast network. I said, no, you don't, but okay. He said, I want to do a podcast network. And it basically, it's all scripts, it's all pilots, it's all pitches. And of course, it became a very expensive proposition because people are now trying to make audio dramas out of them, and there's really only room for a few, and a few that will be big hits, and it, and, you know, it just is limited in who can do that stuff, and all the other podcasts, it's just like blogging when that started. I'm going to be a millionaire, you know, I'm going to be the next Joe Rogan. It's just, it's not that simple.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up, because this is the perfect time for me to say, DAI, you suck. Stop. I mean, like, it is, DAI is, and this is the part of...
That's dynamically ad insertions.
Yeah. This feels like shouting in the wind. But it needs to stop sucking before it ruins everything. The part of what Marco was saying on there was about chapters, was that the dynamic ad insertion messes up the timing on chapters,
right?
And if you look at the namespace, you've got transcripts, chapters, and sound bites. Out of 20 tags in the namespace, three of them can be affected by lousy dynamic ad insertion.
Mm-hmm.
So if we think about dynamic ad insertion for what it is, well, first of all, chapters can be done, and transcripts and sound bites, all three can be done and take dynamic ad insertion into account perfectly fine. Buzzsprout does it right now. All of their time stamps are modified when the ads go in.
Yeah, Buzzsprout's the only one, I think, that really pays attention to that.
That is, it can be done if you care about it end to end, soup to nuts, to make this thing, to make it stay consistent. Dynamic ad insertion into your audio that results in screwing up the timing of your other metadata points is like inserting dynamic banner ads into your website, which randomly screw up your CSS and change the way your website layout functions.
Hallelujah.
It, this is what we're going to run into. We would not tolerate that on the web. We would not tolerate an ad coming in dynamically and changing the entire look and feel of the website.
Oh,
or all of a sudden making the web, making the font bigger.
We tolerate so much. I mean, just the other day I was listening to Pod News Weekly Review, and it just cuts in the conversation. Let's take a break. Mm-hmm. And then it comes back in, and I forgot what they were talking about. It was brutal, well, brutal.
If you let a dynamic ad in insertion blow up your website layout, you've chosen easy money over content quality. And that is the problem here. The point of podcasting is audio. If you let a dynamic ad provider just blow up your audio and your feed and make your and screw the it is a poor experience all the way around. I mean, in some ways, I don't.
I say we should not allow that to happen.
I agree, Satan. I think that you're exactly right. We should not allow this. That was an appropriate voice for what DAI is.
Yeah, it's evil. Tool of Satan. Show title.
It is a tool of Beelzebub, and that should be.
It's a dark tool.
Yeah, and here's what's going to happen. Everybody's DAI implementations that went in with no care about any of the supporting structure, like the chapters, transcripts, all these kinds of things, it is going to result in things being screwed up from here on out, and then the DAI market is going to tank. When everybody floods in to try to do DAI because host reads aren't making any money, the CPMs are going to go down, and we're going to end up with Punch the Monkey banner ads in audio.
I forgot all about Punch the Monkey.
That's what's going to happen.
Punch the Monkey and Whack-A-Mole. Remember that? Whack-A-Mole.
Yeah, yes. You're going to have the equivalent. That is what we're going to be left with, this disgusting audio experience.
Well, honestly, when it comes to the ad market, we're still basically counting hits. I mean, you know, it's all bullshit. It's not real. IAB is bullshit. Bullshit numbers. I mean, that's why I love OP3. OP3, at least it's open. Everyone can see what it is. You know, you can agree, you can disagree, but it's all the same for everybody. You know, but when you get all these different ways of counting and not counting and who cares, a download, a listen, time spent list. I got all those stats. I got all the time spent listening.
Completion rate.
Yeah. And my completion rate here at home is 100%. I mean, I'm just telling you that.
Oh, I think you mean it's a whole. It's a whole.
Five by five. It's
on all counts.
On all counts, baby. Exactly. I feel bad about it. But I understand, because there was such a hype, certainly in the last couple of years, so much free money, so much DEI going into podcasting. Because that's what all that money's dried up now. Notice there's no more Africa Podcast Day and BIPOC Podcast Day. That's all starting to fade away because the money is kind of drying up. You know, it just seems to me that, money in, money out. I mean, there's just less of it. And a lot of people were riding high on the hog. The podcast industrial complex was there. And now, you know, you get YouTube saying they'll do something. It's all toss away stuff. They don't really care.
It's easy to do things like inclusion initiatives when you have lots of money.
Yeah.
But then, you know, when you have, when you're cutting even the people you have, you see how important those things actually are to people, because they, you know, they're like, oh, well, you know, we got to, you know. We don't care that much. This is a money thing, you know?
Yeah, it's like they don't even talk to Cridland. If you want to do anything in podcasting, you got to at least talk to Cridland.
We care enough, and we care a whole bunch until it affects the stock price, and then we don't care. We don't care that much.
Exactly. The people that care for the podcasters is right here in this group. People who care are the ones at podcastindex.social. They actually care. Now, I still truly believe the reason why this project is working is because everybody has a shot at a cut of the money flow. everybody's got a chance at, and everybody can include themselves. I really believe that's a big part of the. I mean, that it's exciting to me every day. I wake up. Go ahead.
With value for value, all that matters is the quality of the content.
Yeah, yeah.
If you make a good product, you get value. There's no other secret sauce.
Yeah, you don't have to buy ads and games that, you know, that start auto downloading or convince people to click on stuff. No, you're absolutely right. And I get great statistics. Speaking of which, by the way,
You have statistics?
Yeah, I got lots of stats. Conshacks, conshax.app, is doing something very interesting. I wanted to pitch this to other people who listen to this podcast. So they are a statistics company, I guess they're a company, but it's really just an app, and that app loads in your browser. It's without a server, I think, or almost serverless, and all your stats are loaded up, and they run in your browser. And I think they're doing with WebAssembly. Is that the way what it is? WebAssembly. Yeah. And so they said, hey, you know, we want to be a part of the flow. So can we have access to the podcaster wallet, which we had done previously for Fountain? And you'll have to tell me who else. So you can...
Satoshi Stream.
Right, they're the first ones. So Conshacks is now actively out there marketing to podcasters. Hey, come on in. Look at all these stats we'll give you. We'll give you a wallet. We sign you up. We make you value for value enabled. And you can manage your splits right here. And we're a statistics provider, and of course they—I don't know exactly what they take, but you know, but they have you know, the wallet wherever they're getting Satoshi somewhere in the flow. I want to pitch to anybody who wants to do this. We have what I think is called a partner API, some special access. Even if you just want to be an onboarding partner. Yeah, you know, you can do a deal with Albi or possibly with Breeze coming up, or you know, or Voltage, or any, there's so many different people you can do a deal with with wallets, or maybe you're a wallet provider. I don't know, or maybe you just do an arm's length deal and connect people into Get Albi. It doesn't matter. You can onboard people into value for value and get a piece of the action for doing that. And I really want to encourage people to think about doing that. It's a great way to move value for value forward. And we're growing at about 100 new podcasts a day.
That brings up, that actually makes me want to bring up Daniel J. Lewis's comment about the fees.
Yes, please.
Well, so I think it's not too much to get into, but I think that here's the way that I look at my reasoning for lightning based value for value is really simple. It's undeplatformable, if that's a word.
We prefer to say censorship resistant.
It's okay. It's censorship resistant, also known as undeplatformable.
Let me just write that down. Another show title.
No middlemen. The payment goes directly from the listener directly to you. There's nobody in between. And the fees are small, very tiny.
The network
fee. If you run it yourself. Well, in order, 1, 2, 3, those are the order of importance that I see those at.
Correct.
The higher fees that he is talking about all come from add-on services. So if I run an Umbral myself, I'm just going to give a scenario. If I run an Umbral in my house and I also run a podcast, those lightning value for value payments coming from the listener to me, the fees are virtually non-existent.
Correct.
They're very, very small. Way less than anything else you can get. Now, if I have a custodial wallet somewhere, let's just say with Blueberry or Albi or some other place, that they're going to take a percentage because you're now using their service. And also you add on Conshacks for stats. Well, there's, you know, you're now using somebody else's service. All these fees, They're coming from additional services that people are offering, but those aren't. But at the lower, that's the difference. Is that at the most fundamental level in the Lightning value for value ecosystem, I can run it myself and avoid all that.
Yes.
But in the other system, the Patreons, these other PayPals, you don't even have that option. You're excluded in the fiat world from participating in that whatsoever.
In addition, so I think a good example, and now apps will charge what apps want to charge. And it's unfortunate, but the fee the network fee for actually transferring a payment is not the same as a fee that is taken by an app or a service, yet they're both called a fee. So voila, it is what it is. But if you take the plugin, the PodPress plugin, I think it is, PowerPress. So there's a 3% fee they tack on for that. If you don't like it, it's a free market. It's a free market. You can go to some other service who do it for less. Same with podcast apps. If a podcast app is charging 5% and your listeners don't like it, your listeners can use a different app. You can recommend a different app. This is the open market. This is, you know, and it's, we're already getting close to having enough competition out there that it will naturally kind of drive the prices down.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful that way. And ultimately, as you point out, you can have an umbrella at home on your cable modem and, wherever you want to host your files. And you can keep that really within your own realm, which is the beauty of podcasting. And you'll still be listed right up there with all the big boys in Podcast Index. It comes out of the same API.
I'm not saying that everybody can run an umbrella. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm saying in this framework, in this scenario, you could, if you wanted to, go learn it, and you, or if you have the ability, or if you know somebody that can help you, you can do it yourself. In the other world, you can't. That is, to me, the fundamental difference of why it's better. Everything else is just sort of like gravy on top of that.
Including the fact that micropayments themselves are just not feasible in any other system. In a fiat world, it's just not possible.
Right.
We're so smart.
I was thinking the same thing. Hey, did you see Red Circle started podpinging?
No, I didn't. Cool.
Yes. Yeah, they started. And Mike Caden over at Red Circle started the podping flow a couple of days ago. He said he's got about 13,000 feeds, he thinks.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so that's coming on board. There's another host, a larger host, that is about to start podpinging that I cannot reveal yet.
Oh, you're like Todd Cochran now all of a sudden.
I
had a very interesting conversation. Can't say it yet. Don't worry, it's coming.
NDA.
I'm crowning. Sorry. It's bad.
I like to just say, give a heads up, even though I'm being coy, I like to give a heads up because I like people to hear that things are happening so they realize that things move slow. You know, things in open source projects
and always,
then podcasting especially, things move slow. So I like to let people know that there is momentum and things are happening and don't get discouraged. Even because they're going.
Oh, there's so much. There's so much happening. I mean, I have to say, especially Blueberry, big props. I listened to their podcast Insider, all about namespace, all about the new features. Todd has seen the writing on the wall, and I really appreciate that about him. He's just gone, all right, everything's flat, so we got to go. You know, everyone's zigging. We're going to zag. We go over and do this. And he's really pushing and he's educating and he's doing it himself. You know, he's eating the dog food, which is important. It's really important. And you know, this is the difference between making, especially value for value work is by following you know, the general guidelines, the general format of explaining value. You want value back. There's a feedback loop. You got to thank people. You know, you got to do it consistently. And for my money, you should also be mentioning the amount of Satoshis that you're receiving. Because, first of all, it's very transparent. People love that. It's also very aspirational. We've seen it ourselves. Like, just with that live thing we did with the dance party. I didn't tell people to request. I didn't tell people to boost 5,000 sats more for each song. I didn't come up with that. I accepted it.
You're breaking the rules-based podcasting order. This is what it's
international rules, podcasting rules-based order. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
In the international rules-based podcasting order, we're like North Korea.
Yeah, we're lobbing missiles everywhere.
Yeah.
They're duds.
Yeah. They just fall in the Sea of Japan most of the time, but okay. They were in the air at one point.
I'm just going to do a couple of quick boosts that we've been receiving since starting. Dreb Scott, who of course we love, 33,333. He wants a birthday shout out. Well, of course, happy birthday, Dreb. Happy birthday, Dreb. I think it was his panties that were left on the turntable yesterday. I'm not quite sure why.
Dreb.
And I thank you to Foam Boy. Because I did interrupt his show. We interrupted his show on the stream, 6969. I sent that twice, actually. He said, never thought I'd be a lead-in for the Podfather on a Saturday. Phoenix and I appreciate all you're doing to advance podcasting. Come experience the Lotus Effect for yourself at lotuseffect.show. And thank you very much for letting us break in like that.
Sorry for that.
Who just shot in here? Sir Spencer, 16969. Thanks again, Dave, for the wonderful time Sunday on Bowls with Buds. Thanks, Adam, for the Club 33 throwback and the rowdy boardroom dance party. P.S. Anyone can run an Umbral. Not everyone is willing, but for minimal effort, everyone is capable. I think that's actually kind of true.
I do too.
It's just as much to learn how to set up a podcast as it is to set that up.
Have you seen people set up a stereo system? That's not easy either.
Remember those days? Mm-hmm. You got to strip the wires for the speaker connectors.
Yeah, and your mom would always call you and ask you, how do you turn it on?
How you turn it on? How you connect it properly?
I just want to watch cable.
Okay, let's see. We'll do more. We'll do more boost in a second.
I added enclosure. So Dan, I've been working with Dan Benjamin on a project of his, and he needed a way to.
Are you an advisor?
I'm an unpaid advisor. the API, he needed a way to call the API and say, okay, I've got an iTunes ID and an enclosure URL. I don't know any other way to, I know the enclosure URL of the episode I need to get. And I know the iTunes ID of the feed. So given those two things, I want to be able to give them to the index, to the API and have you return the episode. Mm. And so we did that.
Mm.
So that's
interesting.
That's in there now. So if you hit a scenario where you're like, I don't know the episode GUID, or the title or really anything else about the episode. All I know is the enclosure URL. You can now add that on as an extra parameter to the episodes by iTunes ID or episodes by feed ID endpoints, and it will give you back the correct episode information.
Okay.
Yes.
That sounds like a cool endpoint.
It's pretty neat.
I'll be banging that all night. Oh, episode detail. Oh, nice.
We're moving forward. The API.
Getting pretty rich. Getting pretty rich there, Dave Meister.
You can
do
a lot of stuff with it. Yeah, you can do a lot of stuff with it. And I don't think I even talked about on the show that you can now get live items back from the episode's endpoint. So if you call the episodes by feed ID endpoint, so you give it a feed ID or a feed URL, it will hand you back the episodes and the live items.
Ooh.
So if the show is live, has live items scheduled or live currently, you'll get those back too. There's a lot of stuff that I only post about, like when we change the API, I'm only posting about it on podcastindex.social and I forget to talk about it on the show.
No, this is good. There was something else I saw on the GitHub. An author tag you were talking about, I think. Is that something
about? This is about publisher.
Publisher author, yes.
So there is a proposal for a tag. This is Namespace Talk. You want to drop that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. We haven't done that in quite a while.
And now it's time for some hot Namespace Talk.
Yeah. So I heard the dance party last night.
Yeah.
Dame Jennifer came right in, man. She's like, woo, woo. She was partying down.
It is 7:30 on a Saturday night. So, I mean, that's appropriate.
It's okay for now. Yeah.
Excuse me. So there was a proposal for a publisher, a way to track publishers of shows instead of just simply the host of the show. And so if you have like a way to for you to go in and say, okay, I want to see all of the podcasts by, I don't know, whatever, Wondery or Luminary or
NPR.
I'm just making NPR stuff. NPR. Yes, yeah. NPR. Some of them are tagged correctly or tagged in a way that you can do that. Some of them aren't. And if there was a tag there that was specifically for that, so he gives the reference of the iTunes author tag, which is supposed to kind of be that way, but it's a little too freeform. And so the freeformity of it, again, not a word, but the freeformity of it is a little problematic because you can't, it gets messy. Is it, you know, if you have two publishers, let's just say it's a joint effort between the New York Times and Serial.
Yeah.
Are you just going to have freeform text in there, New York Times and Serial? And then another one may say Serial and New York Times.
Yeah, I know that's not structured data.
It's not structured data. So he proposed a way to do it by, in a more structured way where you have multiple entries there where it's for each publisher enclosed in sort of a parent tag. And then you can more easily aggregate that and then go back after the fact and say, show me all the podcasts by the New York Times and you get them all.
Oh, it's good.
I think there needs more comments on that though.
Okay. I have a link to it in the show notes.
Cause I'm a little, I think it's not, it needs that it, I see what he's doing and I like it, but it does need some work. And I think there just needs to be more voices in there commenting on it.
Okay.
Would be good. Also in the namespace, on that side of things, let's see what actually I didn't have another namespace. You got anything else? I gotta find this.
Yes. I wanted to give another plug for the transcript search tool, which Stephen B put together. He needs a domain name. Right now it's transcript-search.vercel.app.
That's not a great name.
No, but that's how we started everything off. He uses that kind of as his building place. This thing is outstanding. And I'm not sure how to integrate it into public life. I use it all the time. I mean, you literally type in, let's see, podcasting 2.0, and you can search the directory. That was my request. Okay, there it is, podcasting 2.0. And then you can say, all right, now I'm going to do a search term. So let's give me a search term that's crazy, Dave. What's something that we could use?
In our show?
Yeah, in our show. Yeah. Something might show up once or twice.
Only once or twice. Oh my gosh. Cake. CAKE.
Cake.
Search. Yeah. Or muffins.
Well, turns out episode 118, one occurrence, and I can click on the time code and then I can hit play. These things that was just icing on the cake for a corporation to score brownie points. I mean, come on.
That's pretty rad.
episode 100, Streamers and Dreamers, 158.17.
The craft services table eating cake and drinking Prosecco.
Even got it from a clip. I mean, this is good.
That is rad.
It's rad. Correct.
Yeah.
Let's see if rad is in there. Let's see. Rad. Rad. It seems like there's a lot in there. Oh, it also picks up radio. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's not going to work.
Traditional. Wait, maybe if I do it in quotes, I wonder how well that search is. Let me see. Yeah, nothing. When I do it in quotes, nothing. How about radio? Yeah. No, it doesn't do the Boolean, unfortunately. But I'm just saying, it's beautiful. Something needs to be done with this tool other than, I use it. I use it all the time, particularly when Dvorak says, I never said that. Now I can just go, yeah, you did. And I boom, click, click. You saw how fast I did that.
That's really
It's very
cool.
impressive. It's very, very impressive. And first, it needs a domain name, Stephen B., first of all. It needs a domain name. It's fantastic. It's a great tool.
I found this. So we have phase six here, and we've got a few tags. I think we need to start to coalesce around what we think is gonna has a chance to make it in there.
Okay, what's the list?
There is value. Let's see, boost screen message. There's the state tag, which I'm sure Daniel has a comment about the name of that. The state tag is just some way to identify whether some things about this feed that don't really fit into other categories. So things like, is it free? Is it premium? That kind of thing. Is it paid for feed? Let's see what I've got in there already. So is the podcast on hiatus? Is it a subscription only? Is it under a trial period by the hosting platform? Sort of some stuff about the feed that you might want to know, but you could group them together, and this may not be a great way to do it. I just threw this out there for comment. Then you have John Spurlock's events.
Yes, tag. Yes, yes, yes. Well, that really needs some work, the events tag.
It's got a lot of commentary on it right here.
Okay.
And I feel like we need to start trying to decide whether or not that can actually get refined to in a way that everybody's happy with to get into phase six. Let's see, the has guests. James Cridlin proposed a tag. It's just a simple Boolean tag. Podcast colon has guests, yes or no.
Right.
And it's just what it says on the box.
Sounds good.
A lot of people seem to like this idea.
Yeah, sounds good. That sounds good to me.
My first thought when I saw it was, meh. And then, I thought about it and I'm like, that actually is a pretty good idea. There's really not another way to get that. A lot of these tags are about, and it seems like in phase six, there's a lot of stuff around just giving information that is not, maybe it's not necessary. It's not critical to the show, but it's helpful to, dare I say, discovery. Like, I can see this feeding. So these fall under a category to me of bits of information that you as the podcaster may want to let the world know. It's sort of like the person tag or the location tag. It's like, it's just, I can put this into my show. I can mark this in my show at my hosting company. That gives a signal to the world about what they can expect to find in my show. And to me, I find those sorts of things to be valuable because, some people just don't like interview shows. They're just not that. I'm never going to listen to an interview show. I don't really listen to hardly any interview shows. It's just not my thing. And so a show that has guests, I'm probably not going to listen to it. And I can see that being just more, you know, ways to let the universe know about what sort of the framework of what your show is. Again, not critical, but helpful. I can see it.
Mm-hmm. Hold on 1 second, Dave. Let me test this.
My first thought when I saw it was meh.
There you go. Long live the ISOBot.
The ISOBot thought I said man. They thought that was the most
yeah, you're right.
Way to say man.
Doesn't matter. I'm still loving it.
And the remote item tag, I really think out of the whole batch, the remote item tag is the one I want to get in there the most.
I'm with you on that. I like that idea.
I think if nothing else, we need to get the remote item tag in there. Events, to me, it goes in this order. Remote item, events, and then there's list mediums. And I think those list mediums need to go in there as well.
Yeah, that's a good one, because we need a lot. We need something for, I'm looking at the musicsideproject.com, and mm-hmm. the search is just not music. The search populates with everything.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. It's inherently not right. And I think, I don't know, maybe if you just search for any term in the that you think would be music, I get podcasts.
Oh, well, what if you search for podcasting 2.0? Oh, yeah, you get a podcast. Mm-hmm. That's not the way I think it should be.
No, like,
I don't think he intended that.
Is there a way to only search for music?
I thought that's what it would do.
Yeah, but do you have an API endpoint?
I thought we did.
Maybe not.
Yikes. Maybe we don't.
Here's another question. Is Wavelake podpinging?
No, we do. We do, don't we?
I don't know. I'm not in charge of that.
Wavelake. No, you're not. Wavelake is not podpinging. They're not, no.
But they are adding stuff to the index?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we're picking it up.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay, are picking stuff up.
They submit, yeah.
Okay.
Now, you know what? Now I feel caught off guard, because they may be podpinging. Who runs this API?
I don't know.
Anyway?
Who runs anything? Who runs the show here?
Go podcasting!
I have no idea.
Wow. All of a sudden, I have no idea what anything does. Well, that's a good, this is a good, good question. Podping. Wavelake. I'm literally searching my email to see if I ever saw a sent Michael over at Wavelake a Podping key.
Oh, that's so funny. That's so funny.
I see no Podping that I've ever sent to Michael. I think he's just submitting.
Okay. All right. Cause I'm super pumped. You know, we're going to have these guys on pretty soon, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. After I screwed him on
we're going to have him on eventually, right? We'll fix that. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am kind of glad that I screwed that up and they didn't show up, because that would have been even worse.
Yeah. It would have been worse. If we had, sorry, by the way, what's interesting.
Yeah. I understand, Adam.
So I was just, right. Well, I switched to, a different internet connection that worked. Okay.
Okay.
But the amount of people who said, hey, I'm available, I can do it, like Sam Sethi, like, hey, I can do it, I can jump on right now, I can do anything that Dave can do. I'm like, no.
Oh, I see how it is, Sam. You're gonna jump. Oh, okay.
Exactly.
I got a target on my back.
And I'm like, no, this is not going to happen. That's not ever going to happen. This is the show.
Hey, James, if Sam's ever out of town, give me a call.
Yeah, that's what your friends, that's what they do to you.
Mm-hmm. Right in the back.
That's right. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
We got thanks to people. I do have another small item that I'm not quite sure. I just want to bring it up because, you know, I've been looking at Noster. I've been on Noster. I have my key is there, whatever. I go on from time to time, and I'm sensing hostility. I don't like it. And I'll tell you what it is. It goes like this.
Okay.
podcasting 2.0 value for value sucks. Everything should be zaps. And which is okay, because, you know, like, whatever, people can say whatever they want, because, you know.
Now, this thing, now you, that thing you just said, is this a tone that you're picking up, or is this something that was actually said?
No, it was said. It was said that way. There was a thread, yeah. And, I mean, of course, I am interpreting the actual tone of voice, which is I translated to in my head.
Appropriately, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Oscar over the Fountain immediately makes zapping available on Fountain. To the Fountain wallet. And I'm just not feeling good about this. I'm not sure what it is, other than it feels like LN URL mafia all over again. You know, it's like, and I mean, there was even a thread like, Noster should replace RSS feeds or whatever. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. And I'm not worried about any of that, but I want to be able to harness the excitement over zaps, and if there's a valid place for that in podcasting value for value streaming stuff, I just don't see it, and it's kind of bugging me. You know what I mean?
It's been irritating me too, and I saw the RSS thing.
Ooh, you're going to use the C word. C word. Are you going to use cult?
No, cult. Well, maybe. Yeah. I started to say culture.
Oh, okay.
But cult maybe.
Cult is a root word of culture. Is cult.
It is as a twofer. Mm. I get them both.
Yeah. That's right.
So there's this sort of like, I feel like I've been spending time on Noster too. I need to understand this thing and what's happening over there and what's being said. And I don't like there being all this motion and I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, there you go. That's exactly it.
Yeah. It's like a bunch of loud things driving by your house, you know, for 15 minutes. Eventually you're going to get up and look out the window. So been spending a time with, and to me, I feel like there is this culture of the sugar daddy culture in Noster. And I think it comes from
Dorsey.
The fact that Dorsey is bankrolling a bunch of stuff over there.
Yeah. Agreed.
And that's where you get this sort of like, I'm going to pay a bounty of a million sats if somebody makes RSS feeds on Noster.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why? It's just a dumb idea. To me, it's just dumb. I mean, so you're going to ingest an RSS feed and then post it on Noster? Like, what is that? What's the point? I just don't understand this. And we already went down this road. I think people in the LNURL Noster group may not understand that we've already thought a lot of this stuff through.
Yeah.
Fought the battle to get this stuff the way that it operates now. And that is it is not the right solution to force the listener to create an invoice every time they want to pay you. KeySend, as much as people may not like KeySend, it is the right answer to this problem. And being able to, and there should not have to be any name resolution, that putting a node ID into a feed with KeySend is the leanest and meanest solution, and it solves this problem perfectly. The app doesn't have to do hardly any work at all. It just looks up the node ID and boom, it's done. You don't have to do all this crazy LNURLP NIP 57s and all this kind. It's like, you don't have to do all that.
And so,
somebody puts 10 splits in their feed. I mean, think about how hard that is for the app.
How about this? Is there a way to make a bridge so people, if they really want to send a zap, they can zap a podcast and it hits the bridge and that splits it into KeySend? That's something Brian of London would build, by the way. It's one of those Rube Goldberg things.
I'm just not interested.
Okay.
I'm not interested in that. Noster has people that I respect, like Alex Gleason, have some interest in Noster. And so I'm not going to say that it's a pile of crap, but I just feel like the use cases they're trying to put it to my opinion is the social media use case was the worst.
It's probably the worst one they could have used. I totally agree.
It should have been something. It should have come out of the gate with a different use case. And because this thing is just not compelling to me. I get on my app and I don't want to be like Debbie Downer, like beat this thing down, because I don't want people doing that to the early work of what we're doing here either. We're running with scissors. They're running with scissors. I want to be fair, but it's just, I don't see the point of a lot of these use cases as the way they're being implemented, because you have, you know, I get on my Nostra app. I mean, I forgot what Domus, and half the time I get on there, I start to scroll my timeline, and then things are popping up.
Mm-hmm.
Like after the fact, like yeah, 4 or 5 seconds.
Yeah, the relay start to kick in.
Uh-huh. And then I don't know where I'm at in my timeline anymore. And I'm like, okay, so I scroll back up to the top, scroll back, you know, start again. And then people's names are showing up as just pub keys and generic avatars. They're just permanent that way. And then I tap them. Then it does the name resolution to find out who they are. It's just not a great experience.
I'm seeing in the chat room, Erhead saying, no, it's easy to do. It took less than a weekend to add Ellen URL fallback. If Keysend fails, the guys at GetAlbi are suggesting it. If we need to stop something, I need you to say it now. Why exactly is it not, is it too much overhead for apps to do this?
So if you have to force Breeze to, on a show like ours, which has 9 splits, if you have to force Breeze to do an LNURLP resolution 9 times every minute and boosts on top of that, that's not just a lot of load on the server. Imagine if you have 100 listeners at this, all listening to your podcast at the same time, which is where we want this thing to be.
Yeah.
Imagine no agenda. You have,
oh goodness,
yeah, 700 people listening live at the same time.
2,000. Let's make it 2,000.
Okay. Let's say 2,000 people listening live on Breeze. Every one of those Breeze apps is sending a streaming payment once a minute, and having to do potentially 9 or 10 LNURLP invoice generations and lookup processes through NIP57. That's called a DDoS attack.
Thank you. Exactly. That's exactly what it would be. Yeah.
It's just not
on both ends, by the way. You'd be, yeah, DDoSing your own app.
It's too much overhead. You can't do that. And the nature of the streaming payments is critical. Boosts are great. Boostergrams are awesome. But the streaming per minute payments, that's where the lifeblood of the future Lightning value for value economy comes from. Because that is how people, I forget to boost and I'm listening to the show, but I always know that 100 sats a minute that I selected, that's always going to be ping, 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 ping.
Right.
And I don't have to remember. And people, once a minute, the podcaster is looking at their dashboard and it's ping, ping, ping. They got income coming in.
And also it's, okay. That's a good point. People who want to integrate, and this is, Erhead is not going to stop, who think zapping is important, that's great. But you're fucking everybody else because you can't do splits. You're not going to do that. No one's going to be zapping 9 different times and 9 different values. So you're circumventing the whole process. And I would also encourage other apps and services to consider that. You know, you're really undermining it.
No, podcasting is not social media. They're two different things.
Correct. And I love zapping as a replacement for a like. I think that's a great idea. It's fantastic.
I do too.
I mean, and that's where it's appropriate. Makes a lot of sense. And I like that it's getting people into the habit of returning some value for something. I like that a lot. I really do. But stay in your lane, because it's not. We did put a lot of work into the whole infrastructure, and you know, when I hear the get Albi and everyone wants to do this, I think they're riding a train and they're screwing themselves and other people with it.
I agree too, and I think that I fully understand what you're saying. I think you're right. The zapping is a great mechanic for returning value, for a value for value ecosystem in general. It makes sense. The way that Nostr, at the social media aspect of Nostr, is designed, the zapping makes sense. It's not podcasting. They're not the same
Correct.
Thing. Keep them separate. It doesn't make sense for podcasting. We've been through this. We're 2.5 years into this. Nostr's brand new. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, and the main thing, and this is what I want to say to Erhead, who's saying, "Oh, it's the same as a boost." No, it's not, because we have a split flow. It's not the same as a boost. And as a wallet provider, get Albi makes total sense. They can do whatever they want. You know, they want to do Ellen. What is the API payment thing? What was that again?
LSAT.
Yeah, there'll be many applications for LSAT. Absolutely. Fountain, questionable. So I'm just saying, you know, if you want to break the system by having people circumvent the splits, have at it. But you're going to lose out in the long run.
I think there's a general issue here where, and this has always been the word, and I want to step back and be gracious to everybody for a minute. I think there is there's always been within this project, there have been Bitcoiners coming to podcasting and podcasting coming to Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And so there's a natural sort of a natural Venn diagram, and they overlap in the middle, but there's a lot of places they don't. And so there's going to be a natural tendency for one side to do things one way, the other side to do things the other way. And in podcasting 2.0, we have to be in the middle of that Venn diagram and make those things mesh.
Yeah.
Because the Bitcoin people are going to see things one way and be like, yeah, let's do it. And to me, this is the fundamental mistake of forcing LNURLP down podcasting's throat. It's not going to work. We've already thought this through. So just
know that we have looked at it. We have looked at it. It's not necessarily going to be a great idea.
Yeah. And podcasters also have ideas that don't fit within the other side. And so we have to mediate that as well. So I think there's just, but especially on the Bitcoin people, because there's money involved, and you see it with these bounties and that kind of thing, that they just want to run off and just do something. And it's like, you can't, it's just not the way it works. I mean, you got to slow down and get some consensus here. And think about the industry and the audience that you're trying to address with the technology that you're making. If you're trying to address problems within podcasting or music or other types of things, you need to understand that industry fully before you dive in and start building something and trying to propose a standard. Standards aren't bad, but you have to at least understand what the audience needs before you make it.
I guess now I know how Marco feels.
Right.
Because I really felt like people were bullying. You know, it's like, nah, man, this is the way to go. This is the way. Mm. You know, it's like, no, I don't think so.
Anyway. I know some people did that to Marco, but we told the people early on to chill out and stop being that way. I think his problems were with those people, not with us.
No. I know that.
Yeah. So he made a comment about standards, and you know,
do we have a standard?
I think that was going to be the other thing I said. We briefly entertained calling things standards, and we backed
by request from hosting companies. By the way, it was a request to do that, and I think we even tried to. I certainly tried to pick that up, and it just died on the vine. And honestly, I'm happy.
They're specs. These are specifications, and you can either do them or not. Nobody's forcing anybody to do anything.
Yeah, exactly. All of podcasting 2.0 is just more podcasting. It's not breaking anything. It's not changing anything. It's not making a new standard. And we have some interesting meetings scheduled with people who are kind of into that. I'm not sure I would even be for calling it a standard or W3C. I love the way everything works now. We're the boss, and everyone else can pound sand. I like that. I like that system.
Pound sand.
Go pound sand. No, I mean, it's so far it's worked out really well. It's been a very open process, and it's been fantastic. And the minute you bring, official structure into it, I'm always like, oh, that's going to ruin it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can. That's right. Airhead says lightning addresses are no longer only L and URL. That's right, because we bucked that system initially to get Keysend in there as well. So
that's right.
Like I said, I mean, this stuff has been thought through. Anyway,
let's thank a few people as we move towards a $1.45 here. Okay. We got, the Sir Spencer stuff. We got, Booberry 17,776 Big Freedom Boost sending boost pilling karma. Tonight, I will attempt giving comedian San Tripoli the PC 2.0 equivalent of telling someone the 9/11 hijackers were identified by the passports found at the base of the Twin Towers. Okay. Sounds great. And there's Phoenix, the better half of Foam Boy. Also 69 stats. Thank you, Podfather, for all you're doing. Lady Phoenix and Lord Foam Boy of the Lotus Effect. Come for the shenanigans, stay for the party. Oh, we really appreciate you guys letting us bust in here. Eric PP, 33,333, about an hour ago. Dreb Scott, 5555, says Adam was really having fun yesterday. It was great to witness. It was great to have you all there as well. Dreb Scott also the only guy, I'll check it again, but the only guy ever to use the Tallycoin on-chain payment system that we have so proudly displayed by request. He did send us, holy crap. Dreb, is he nuts?
Did he fall on the keyboard?
224,035 sats?
Oh, Baller! Shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala!
Sent that through the Tally coin yesterday.
Oh, Dreb, you do too much.
You
brother.
Really do
too much.
And we only give him like a 5% cut on the split for doing the chapters. Well, I do give it on every single podcast I do, so maybe he's able to recycle some of it. And let's see, Chad F 3333. Hey, I only requested Ride the Lightning after someone requested Milkshake. Yeah, that's right. It was for you, a special milkshake song.
Palate cleanser.
Yes, Chad F. Another 3333. A Chris, 9013. You can't just go out there do poll work whenever you want. You first have to call up and put in a poll request. Yeah, Dreb Scott boosting Dave's poll work. 5555. Your poll work was outstanding.
I've been told.
And there's Dreb with a pre-boost. 55,555. Oh, Dreb, man.
Dreb. I'm gonna start sending this back, Dreb.
Yeah, we got your. And that's another beautiful thing. We don't need any permission to send him money.
That's right. And he can't even stop us. That's the beautiful thing about Keysend.
Lycia. Which of course is Martin Lindiscoke, a replay of yesterday's Liberty Boost regarding, and those 2112 regarding the song 55 Million Frenchmen and Benjamin Bellamy's post music tip. This is always so cryptic. Happymusicradio.com. Okay, thank you very much, Martin. Let's see, what else do I have? I think that's all it. And I know you'll of course have all of the boosts from yesterday. I think I thank pretty much everybody, so we can run through them pretty quick because a lot of requests there and stuff.
I grabbed the boosts. I didn't try to get the boost from today or anything. I'm just going to stick and read the boost that I had prepared for Friday's show.
Yeah, that's probably and good because I got everybody else. Yeah.
And then we'll sort it out later. Yeah. Well, we had $200 from Oscar Mary over at Fountain.
Through PayPal. Ho, ho.
Baller.
We love that.
Shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Thank you, Oscar.
Yeah, very kind enough always to support us monthly, and we appreciate it, Oscar. Thank you, brother. And we got some boostergrams. We got 22222, big row of ducks from Todd in Northern Virginia. It says, boosting at 2x. Can't stop, won't stop.
Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop.
Don't let anybody make you stop, Todd.
Never, ever. Ever.
Mere Mortals Podcast 2222, row of ducks. He says, no secrets between board members. Spill the Buzzsprout beans, Dave. Buzzsprout beans?
Buzzsprout beans? I don't know what that's about.
Boost, boost, boost.
I didn't know I had Buzzsprout beans.
No, it must have, must be something you alluded to somewhere.
Okay. I'm sorry, I don't even remember, Kyron. Mere Mortals, Kyron's back again. 5555 through Fountain. He says, congrats on getting to your first Bitcoin meetup, Dave. Texas Slim will be at the one here in Brisbane next week. I'm super pumped on my birthday as well.
Oh, cool.
Texas Slim going to Brisbane?
Brisbane. Oh, not Brisbane. Okay. Brisbane.
Brisbane, yeah.
No, Brisbane.
Brisbane.
Brisbane. Yeah,
that's what I said.
Yeah.
Boosh.
SLC. Like, yeah. 12498 through Fountain App. He says, podcasting 2.0x. Go podcasting. Just keep it at the suggested speed.
Yeah, we will.
Go podcasting!
Clark, what's Texas Slim going all the way down to Australia for?
He's doing Beef Initiative Down Under. He's doing the same. He's been really, he's getting a lot of attention.
He's preaching the gospel to the far-flung reaches of the earth.
It was a pretty cool article about him in ABC, which is Australian Broadcasting Corporation, M5M. Mm-hmm. And they said, a man who goes by Texas Slim. And we asked him for his full name. He said, that's all you need to know, Texas Slim. That's so sweet. Badass. Like, you don't need to know. I'm Texas Slim. My mama knows me by Texas Slim. That's enough.
Texas S Slim.
But it was interesting to see because, you know, of course, there was Bitcoiners there and, you know, like a typical Beef Initiative meetup and talking about purchasing, you know, the beef with Bitcoin. And what the Australian media glommed onto is, you know, this undertone of feels a lot like the sovereign man movement. Like, no. Well, they have to do something negative.
They always do that.
They always do, yeah.
Clarkian. 25,001 sats through Fountain. Nice. Says, switching from fiat cuck bucks to boosting every episode. Keep up the good work and see you at the next meetup, Dave. That's my buddy.
Oh, nice.
Boost. Yeah.
He was at the Bitcoin meetup?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we rode together. That's my buddy.
Oh,
too.
Nice. Yeah. You take the flatbed?
No, we just take the flatbed.
You don't drive that outside your 15-minute city? Is that the...
No, 15-minute city. Yeah, nothing in Birmingham has 15 minutes. That's not even, you can't even do 15 minutes inside the city. Alwyn from Conshacks, 13579, 13579 through Podverse, says, finally time again to listen to the podcast and boost.
All right.
Fully agree on the listening speed. It somehow feels wrong to listen faster than 1x and cut pauses.
That's right.
Boost.
A believer.
Thank you.
16969 from Hey Citizen through Podverse. He says, another great show, fellas. When I grow up, I want to be just like you two.
Oh.
How you doing, Booster?
Just like us.
So sweet. Mere Mortals Podcast 2222 from through Fountain. He says, Bitcoin meetup update. Texas Slim is awesome, and I need to analyze some of my food choices. Also, Bitcoin is awesome. Go Bitcoining.
Boost.
Okay.
Well, we had the lead up to the meetup.
Yeah,
and then
the actual meetup itself. So I think Slim is now on his way to Thailand.
Wow!
Yeah,
man, he's on a world tour.
Well, he intended to retire to Thailand before he kind of came out of retirement to do this Beef Initiative, because Thailand is
interesting.
Yeah, I'm not talking Bangkok, although that is fun for some things, but more like Chiang Mai. I've been to Thailand, did a documentary there.
Really nice
people. A very just sweet population, very giving, very open. They love their royal family, you know, so they're nationalists. Food is fantastic. It's cheap to live there. It's, I understand, you know, the Thai culture is really wonderful.
I've got a friend of a friend who lived in Thailand, as a teacher for 7 or 8 years. And every time he came back to the U.S., he was like, my God, things are so expensive here. Mm-hmm. He said it was very cheap there.
Mm-hmm.
He said you could get, you know, you could have a big meal, you know, with five of your buddies.
Yeah.
And, you know, it would cost you as much as like a meal for two here.
Unless you go to the No Hands restaurant in Bangkok, which is a whole nother story.
Okay.
You know what, the No Hands restaurant is?
No.
So the food is in a table. It's kind of like it's a round table and there's two bench seats, comfortable, you know, with pillows and everything. So you and your friends sit, you know, near the food.
Uh-huh.
And behind you will be your servant, who then will get your food prepared and feed it to you.
Whoa.
Typically naked.
it's that kind of
thing. It was a long time ago, but it was for the documentary, funny enough.
Yes, this sounds like a plot of a movie is what this sounds like.
Yeah. If you remember Faces of Death, they actually
had the
monkey head sticking out and they chopped the head off and they ate the brains from the live monkey. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't this.
That's the VHS tape that everybody passed around.
50th generation VHS tape, exactly.
Yeah, so grainy. I was convinced that was real. I'm like, this is all real, man. This is real.
It was great.
Yale, our buddy Yale from Vienna, sent us 155,555 sats.
Woohoo!
Baller, shot caller, 20 nice. Inch blaze on the Impala.
Thank you.
He says, hey, gents, thank you for your courage from Vienna. My disgusting native ad with Austrian finance journo Nico Jilch. We've got a new 2.0 enabled podcast using Substack, fixthemoney.net,
ooh,
with interviews, privacy tutorials, and commentary from the Bitcoin lobbying world. Thank you both for your encouragement and patience in GitHub and Mastodon. Merci and danke.
Nice.
Thank you, Yale. Appreciate it. 6969 from Hey Citizen. Through Podverse, he says, do you think sites like NoAgendaSocial.com will have a way to receive boosts the way podcasts can?
I don't see why. Well, how about Zaps?
Zaps, yeah. Yeah, that's great. There again, that's the thing. Zaps, fine for social media. It's slow motion. It's fine.
Yeah.
Not good for podcasts.
No.
Yes. Don't put boosts into your social. Don't put your Zaps into podcasting. My two cents.
I'm with you. I'll add my two cents right to it.
Another 6969 from Hey Citizens. He says, feature request for the podcast apps. Streaming sats using the Dvorak multiplier. You listen at 1.5 speed, you stream 1.5 sats.
boost.
I agree with that. I think that's the way to go.
This is a great idea.
Now you're cooking.
Yeah, you pay for it. Yep.
Yeah.
Borlog sent us 100,000 sats through Podverse. He says, thanks for all your hard work. I'm showing my partner how V4V works by sending this one now. Well, thank you.
Oh, cool.
100,000 sats.
Wow, you know what you get for that.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Amit through, 32,023 sats, palindrome there, 32023, through Podverse. He says, podcasting live from Floss Conference in Tel Aviv. AP.hamacor, okay, I'm going to have to read this. This is a website. AP.hamacor.org.il. Go podcasting.
Ooh, okay.
Go podcasting!
Thank you, Amit.
Yeah.
Todd Cochran, 150,420 sats.
Yeah, now he's just showing off. Baller, he's showing off now.
Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
He's just showing off now.
50% of what was said on the last show was seriously deer in the headlights discussion. What did we say?
I don't know. Oh, I don't know. Is that all he said? Is that all he wrote?
No, he says, growth in podcasting is flat as a pancake, and based on calls I've been having, podcasting companies are in trouble. That said, best time ever to be a podcaster as audience numbers are growing amongst fewer shows, but go podcasting.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Go
man.
Podcasting!
Okay. When he says flat, I mean, that's the growth of the companies, I guess.
I guess so. I don't know. Maybe he just means the number of new shows outside of the free
New customers for podcast hosts.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have churn. You're going to have people leaving. You need to get new people in. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I always hear Buzzsprout always has another 5,000 people every week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it must be. It's like... Yeah, I guess they're tied together. I mean, it's a beautiful thing because there's that direct, your customer, your growth of your company is the growth of your customer. There's no funny money in between.
It's
a very natural thing. Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it. I don't even remember what we said at the beginning of this show, much less last show.
We talked about our own lives, ourselves, as usual, as you do on a podcast. Talked about ourselves.
Lyceum 1776, he says, Adam and Dave, I listened to Sophie Tucker singing 50 Million Frenchmen Can't Be Wrong after reading Benjamin Bellamy's blog post.
I think I just read that one. I think this one we had. Yeah, we had that one.
Okay, yep. All right, we got it. Well, Comic Strip Blogger is the delimiter 33015.
I was waiting for him. Where is he?
Dignified Dave and Abiding Adam. Building a medium that provides the environment for humanity to coalesce around sense-making broadcasters is no easy feat. If you ever want to take a load off after all that digital heavy lifting, kick back with the AI.cooking podcast, inspired by the best infosainment purveyors in the realm and hosted by Kentish Rock and Rolla, Gregory Foreman, who always keeps it 3x4. Yo, CSB.
Boost.
Thank you, CSB. He's always there, man. You can count on him. He's very consistent.
They're getting more and more complex every time.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll take it. We appreciate it. We appreciate everyone who's been boosting us. Now, you have some monthlies before we close out the segment? Yes. Yeah.
I've got a Michael Kimmerer at $5.33. I've got a Dreb Scott at $15. Ooh, nice. The Unstoppable Dreb Scott, Leslie Martin at $2, Christopher Reamer, $10, Aaron Reno, $5, Pedro Goncalves, $5, Scott Jobbert, $12, Chad Farrow, $20.22, Martin Lindeskog, $1, and Mark Graham, $1. And that's our group.
And thank you all so much for delivering the value. It is really appreciated, especially yesterday's show, but also everyone who showed up today in the chat room and has been contributing. If you want to support Podcasting 2.0, the podcast, and of course the index, go to podcastindex.org, scroll down to the bottom, you'll see two red donate buttons. One is for your fiat fund coupons via PayPal, and the other one is that Tally coin that only Dreb Scott uses. But of course, we'd love for you to try a modern podcast app. Works with all your old podcasts, no problem. You can export from Apple, export from any podcast, including Overcast, whatever it is, even from one of the newer podcast apps. You can try them all. Export your OPML file or your podcast, whatever it's called. It's different per app. And just import it into the new one. And you got presto. Voila. You've got like a rabbit out of a hat. You've got all of your subscriptions right there. And you can now actually purchase little bits of Bitcoin Satoshis in, I think, four apps. We have Breeze. We have Fountain. We have Podverse. What am I forgetting here? I know I'm forgetting something. Dave, help me.
Where you can
buy sats in Fountain, Podverse, anything with Get Albi, I guess. Breeze. There's a fourth one. I'm sure there's a fourth one. You can buy sats right through MoonPay, right in the app. No, I don't remember. We need a new apps page. Yeah, I'm drawing a blank.
I don't think there's a fourth.
There's no step four.
You can buy.
There's no step four.
I don't think there's a fourth app.
Okay.
No, well, you may be. I think I know what you're talking about.
Oh.
No, I think I know what you're talking about. I don't. Yeah. Nope. It's not out yet.
What am I talking about? I mean, I'm not Todd Cochran. I don't have secrets.
Because I can't think of anything else that is out.
Okay. All right. It doesn't matter. Just go ahead and figure it out. Go to newpodcastapps.com and get something so you can boost us. You can join in the fun. Clearly, it's a lot of fun because you get your name mentioned a lot and your message read. And you get to have standing amongst everybody else in the listening audience. We appreciate that. Thank you
Zion,
for supporting.
You're thinking of Zion.
Oh, Zion. I'm not thinking of Zion. We've received exactly zero sats from Zion ever. But he raised $6 million. Yeah, well, there you go. Well, there you go. That's how it goes. I wouldn't want that that albatross around my neck.
No way.
No, not at all. All right, brother. 8:14 p.m.
It's
been a late one. Yeah, I'm going to finish this up, get everything out, get it going, roll it out so everyone can enjoy that this evening or tomorrow morning before No Agenda. Just stick it in. Stick it into your Sunday morning. And hopefully everything stays up where you are and you don't have to go back to the office. You can have a nice day off tomorrow.
I hope everything stays up where you are, too.
I'm going to see if I can keep it staying up. That's okay. All right, everybody, that'll do it. Thanks for joining us this late night boardroom meeting where we get a little punchy. We'll be back next Friday right here at Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go Podcasting!
Hey, James, if Sam's ever out of town, give me a call.